Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Exceed plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie, back to the case of the Cork solicitor fraudsters, Keith. We discovered, by the way, he was also known as Keith Lucky Flynn. He was referred to that in a number of newspaper reports going way back, which I'll tell you about in a sec, which we discovered last night. And Lindsay Clark, as you know, two of them, husband, wife, sent to prison earlier this week. He got 4 years, she got 2 years, but though both of them said they were equally guilty. And at 700 charges against them for fraud. The main ones that have jumped out to our listeners is that they bought the identities of homeless people and used them to set up bank accounts and basically steal at least 400 grand off the banks, at least 400 grand, fake 60 fake IDs, fake driving licenses, fake passports, including UK passports. But the timeline of this cruise escapades is getting murkier and murkier. In 2016, they were suspended as solicitors after complaints about them. 2016, that's 5 years ago. Their apartment or their penthouse, as it was, one of the most expensive in Cork, and why wouldn't it be? They were living off the money stolen in the names of homeless people. In June 2018, that's 2 years after they were suspended, the Gardaí, thanks to the work of the Bank of Ireland and Detective Alan McCarthy, the Gardaí raided their apartment in Cork and found 100,000 euro in a safe, found driving licenses, including genuine driving licenses. How they got them, we do not know. Bank cards, credit union cards, loads of false utility bills. They were using this, obviously, to get their loans, which, of course, they never repaid. Now, we've had some interesting, and I thought Alice Leahy made a very powerful point yesterday when she spoke about, you could hear it in her voice, she was absolutely disgusted that these two used homeless people and vulnerable people, which is where the story began, was Annette Kinahan on the programme here on Tuesday. She was the opening call, and she had read the story by Noel Baker in the Irish Examiner and couldn't believe, because her own son had unfortunately been homeless and died when he was homeless, couldn't believe that the fact that they preyed on homeless people didn't seem to get the headlines it deserved. But we received a number of phone calls from the same person, by the way, and Rebecca, our series producer, has been talking to him at length yesterday afternoon, evening and this morning. And this is his contention. Now, again, it's only when you hear the story that you realise, one of the other things that Alice said was, the people who are homeless are vulnerable and they're not always believed. They're not always believed and they won't always go to the Gardaí. But she pointed out the PPS number is the most valuable thing they have. The most valuable thing they have. But this man contacted us, and you'll understand why he didn't want to speak on air. I was homeless and sleeping rough at Cork City bus station. At some stage during the years 2016 and 2018, remember they were suspended as solicitors in 2016, I was approached by a slim blonde woman. It was in the very early hours of the morning. She asked me about my circumstances and offered me a sleeping bag. I thought she was a county councillor or a good Samaritan or working for the council housing department. She said to me, "You wouldn't happen to have your PPS number on you, would you?" I said I did. I handed her either my medical card or my public services card, and she took down the details on it. She then gave me a phone number and told me to ring if I needed help in the future. I'd phoned the number on multiple occasions and it never connected. That's what spooked me at the time. This week, I was looking at the picture of her and Enda Kenny, then Taoiseach. She stood for election for Fine Gael. I was looking at the picture of her, Lindsay Clark, and Enda Kenny together. That picture looks like the woman who tried to help me. But to be honest, I couldn't say for sure. I now wonder if I'm involved in this case. I found the Gardaí in Cork and they told me they couldn't answer my questions and that I should contact the Department of Social Protection. And I want to know if my PPS number has been used by Lindsay Clark and Keith Flynn to open fraudulent bank accounts. Now, the other thing that emerged emerges this morning in the Irish Examiner. Remember, both of them say we were equally culpable. Neither blamed the other. Neither blamed the other. They said they were equally culpable. But it was Clark who got the lesser sentence, by the way, of 2 years. She'll be out this time next year by the looks of it. Clark was the one who opened the first bogus bank accounts in the names of homeless people. And she did that, wait for it, in 2016. 2016. Why are these dates important? Because if you go through, which our team have been doing all last night, going through the newspapers and to trying to find any references to Keith, Lucky Flynn and Lindsay Clark, they turn up everywhere. In what year was it? 2018, their apartment was raided. In 2019, Lindsay Clark was turning up at Kerry businesswomen's events. Now remember, they'd already, their apartment had already been raided the year before. They are already facing 700 charges. She had been using bogus accounts. By the way, they pleaded guilty. She had been using bogus accounts for the previous 3 years. But there she is in the Kerry newspapers back in 2019, fetching up as a representative of a food photography business and a respectable, which they all are, Kerry business. Business person. Then in 2018, go back a year, remember this is after their apartment, their penthouse was raided. In 2018, you will find Lindsay Clark and Lucky Flynn, the two of them, together. I don't think he has a beard. By the way, the beard completely changes his look. If you, we'll show you photographs of him without the beard, but the photographs in the paper so far have been him with the beard. He's completely different without the beard, as a lot of people are. But there they are at the top of Mount Toubkal, Toubkal, T-O-U-B-K-A-L, in Morocco. And they're in the newspapers because Lindsay is claiming that a relative she had with her was the first person of that age to climb Mount Toubkal, and that they were going to get into they were going to be in the Guinness Book of Records. If you have a Guinness Book, we've looked at ours, we're 2020, we can't find a record of Lindsay Clark or any relative or friend of hers of a different age having broken a record by climbing Mount Toubkal. So they were out there in the community, working away as brazen as you like, and as I say, appearing left, right and centre in newspapers. And the fact that she's the one that opened up the first bank account. Now, we also have a statement in from Cork City Council. Remember, this man believes, and he admits himself, listen, I was homeless, I was sleeping rough, I was sleeping on the floor in Cork bus station, I didn't take notes, I might have been tired or whatever, but it's just that photograph jogged my memory that this person out of the blue asked for my PPS number and I did give it to her. And the Cork City Council have said to us, when outreach services engage with individuals who are sleeping rough, they would not ask for PPS and PPS numbers. If the person was happy to engage with the outreach worker, they would encourage them, i.e. the outreach worker, would encourage them to present to the accommodation placement service during office hours. This service is staffed by Cork City Council employees. It is at this stage that a formal assessment would take place and a client would be asked to provide their PPS number along with other information. Clients have to give signed consent for this information to be recorded. It should be noted that any outreach services operated by or funded by Cork City Council do not operate this late at night. So now, as he says, and Alice Lee made a point yesterday, this is the problem. They knew who they were preying on. They were preying on people who were vulnerable and at a very, very difficult stage of their lives. Anyway, there'll be more, I think. Well, I know there'll be more in the Examiner this morning, and we're just waiting on one more piece of information about another aspect of the case. The fact that Keith, he's really lucky because he went in on remand because he pleaded guilty last October, and he immediately, which is William pointed out, yes, he was a prisoner, for a remand prisoner, he immediately got one of the cushiest, that was William pointed it out, one of the cushiest jobs in the prison, which is cooking meals for in the prison officer's restaurant or whatever, in whatever prison he's in. And she got 2 years for because of extenuating circumstances. Okay, who do I go to first? Anna Davison, the Shaw Academy. I've mentioned this before. What's your connection with them, Anna?
Hi, Patrick. Hi. So I basically had signed up to do their graphic design course on the 5th of October last year.
Well, would you tell us first, who are the Shaw Academy? How did you come across them? They're called after George Bernard Shaw, aren't they? Isn't that where the name comes from?
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, that's when I was about to sign up a few months ago, that's what I noticed. But anyway,
how
did you come across them?
I'd seen their ads on Facebook and a few other kind of social media sites, but I mainly went to look up, I just looked up graphic design courses online, and I was primarily looking for an Irish company because I figured that I could trust them better. So I just looked it up, and they had a graphic design course that sort of fit my budget at the time. And I signed up and started the course.
And how do you pay them?
So you can get this 4-week free trial in the beginning.
Yeah, free trial.
And then after that, it's $49.99. I think, I can't remember what the term was. Could be every 3 months. So I did my free trial, and I was getting on well with it. And then I paid my first payment then, which was on the 5th of October. But then I kind of encountered issues after that.
How much have you money outstanding at this stage?
Yeah, it's about €80 outstanding.
Okay.
But in total, the unauthorized payments that came out to about 110.
Okay, now the key here is you've tried to get the money back. How have you got on, Anna?
Well, basically, I first contacted the customer service just to let them know, because I figured it would be an accident. So I just said that I had two payments coming out, but I hadn't bought anything or authorised anything. So basically what happened is they seem to fund a lot of money into their marketing. So they'll send you about sort of 10 to 12 emails a day once you show interest in the site and then once you sign up. So I've been getting kind of weird emails saying payments failed, order failed, to complete your order for this course toolkit and diploma. So you get this email thing every day saying, like, you've 12 hours to buy this thing, you've 5 hours, whatever. But I just didn't buy it. So then I saw in my statement then that I had two pending payments of $39.99. So then I went in thinking, oh, God, did I buy something else? So I went into my account on the site, and the only thing that came up to that value was this diploma and course toolkit. But they had this little lock icon beside it, so I couldn't access it.
Okay, you couldn't get it. Okay, Kira, just because there's a queue of people, and you stay with us, but did the course actually start?
Yeah, I've been doing the course for a while, just the standard one, but it kept recommending to buy add-ons and extras.
Okay, and what was the standard course like?
It was good, yeah. It had these pre-recorded sort of lecture type things that you would watch, and you basically schedule your class, and it's about a 45-minute thing. And yeah, no, I found it really
well. Hang on,
could beginning.
Pre-recorded? That could be. You could get that for free on YouTube. Did you? Could you interact with the lecturer?
No, you could.
Could you ask? Sort of, could you ask questions?
Not in real time. You can only send in requests.
And who is the course? Who is the course validated by?
It was at the time on their website. They had shown that they were accredited by various institutions. But then after I experienced all of this, I looked up and realised that those credits had been taken away.
So because
but they weren't
one of the keys for any third level course, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a third level course, but any course, is that they are externally validated. Courses in Trinity, every single one of them, would be externally validated by a different university. In other words, they would go through the exams, they would interview a number of students and lecturers to make sure that these courses were actually doing what they say on the box and that they were up to it. In other words, that doctors were qualified as doctors, they do loads of exams anyway, that social workers become properly trained social workers, etc., etc. Now, we pointed out yesterday, I keep harping back to this fella, Keith Lucky Flynn, who went into prison and said, I did a course in Ballymaloe and a cookery course, and you pay 12 grand, you get a course. But I don't know if it's validated by any external thing, but that's fine. It's the reputation of Ballymaloe people are going on, and I'm sure it's a brilliant course. But the Shaw Academy are not validated by any external group that you can see.
No.
Okay, stay there for a sec, Anna. Kira Byrne, Kira.
Yeah, hi.
What course? How did you come across the Shaw Academy?
So during the first lockdown, it was the end of March, I think it was. I came across on Facebook. It was an ad, and I was like, oh, do you know, I'm sitting at home, I'm not doing anything at the moment, I may as well do something with my time. And I signed up for the 4-week free trial, and kind of immediately I realised that it wasn't what I was looking for. Just the fact that they were pre-recorded classes, and even though they were pre-recorded, you couldn't pick, like, you couldn't do it whenever you wanted. You had to pick a specific time. So I just straight away I was like, oh no, it's not really for me. So I cancelled it. I received an email from them, or sorry, a phone call from them, asking me did I want to continue, and to, like, they'd offer me 6 months free if I wanted to give it another try. And I gave them feedback and I said, look, it's not for me. And then I thought it was kind of the end of it, even though they'd offered me the free 6 months. I said, look, I'm not going to use it. And even in October, I received a text message from them saying, reactivate your 28-day free trial, come back to us, like, sign up again. And I just ignored it. And then the end of December, I know it's €30 had come out of my bank account. So 6 months after I cancelled it.
So you so you decided the course wasn't what you thought it was. It was pre-recorded videos. But you had to log in at a particular time to get access to that video, but it didn't allow any interaction either with the lecturer or fellow students.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I know a lot of universities are on been online for the last year, but I hope their systems are a bit better than that, in terms of. So your point is, I can't manage to cancel.
Yeah, like, when I did contact them, they said that there was no refunds like that. Once you sign up, you sign up. And I said, look, I cancelled it 6 months ago.
And do you know who you're, Kira, who are you talking to and where are they?
They're definitely not based in Ireland, because the first phone call I got was a US number. Then I've had multiple numbers from different locations. Now, they do try to ring you on an Irish number, so like an 01 number. But a few times I've had like an English number and that. But I've had phone calls at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, not realising the time difference.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So at 5 a.m. and 10 p.m., it doesn't make sense, the times that they ring, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I remember hearing about this from the crew upstairs 5 months ago. We were getting calls about the Shaw Academy. We were trying to stand it up, as they say, in the time of pandemic. And we asked them to come on the programme. And instead, they sent us in a three page statement with graphs that they asked us to read out. I can't read out graphs. I'm not good at many, but I can't read out graphs. So we asked them, would you not record it the way you do your lectures and send it in? And we might. But I'm no intention of reading out it. We do a presse of it, but basically they're denying everything. Yvonne Blanchfield. Yvonne, this is a difficult one.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe.
How are you? What? How did you come across the Shaw Academy?
Yeah, well, I've been sick for a long time, and I'm just kind of getting better now. And I decided that, you know, I'd like to do a course. And I wasn't looking. No, I hadn't been looking for a course, but just something, you know, they had cropped up a couple of times on social media and that, and I saw Shaw Academy anyway, and I said, oh, sure, listen, I'll go through anyway, and I was looking for a creative writing course.
Great.
And so I went down anyway through it, and I pressed it, and it said, you know, $49.99 for each month, the first 4 weeks free. And so I said, you know, that would be interesting. So I pressed it anyway, because I was willing to do it. Like, I was very silly, I didn't research it. But you had to give your bank details. And after the first 4 weeks, if you didn't like it, you know, you could have your, you could get your refund, or whatever, and that. But that evening, that's when the problem cropped up, because I wasn't starting till the following day. I got a phone call, and actually I got a number of phone calls. I sent the number to Annette on your program there. And there were 01 phone calls, Dublin phone calls. and she was meant to be the academy counsellor. And I won't mention her name, but she was meant to be the counsellor anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that the card was denied and she needed the money and could she have my banking details and that. So I said, no, I said I couldn't do that. And I sent the text then that she had sent me as well about... Have I rang the bank and all that sort of thing, and I had rang the bank and the bank said that the first payment had gone through and the others were in process, and they Shaw had already received one payment, and so.
And did you start the course, Yvonne?
Well, on the Wednesday. At 2 o'clock, that was the time I was interested in. I turned it on, and I was a bit shocked, actually.
Why? Tell me.
Because it was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And
it was a YouTube video. Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah, and you know, the next thing it was going so fast.
Okay.
And then they said that it was over pretty quickly, and there was meant to be an advisor or something that you could ask. So I texted him and I said, listen, I said, could I see the recording again? So he said, give it 2 hours and you could look at it again.
Oh, so you know? you're exposed in terms of, this is very revelatory in terms of, so it was a recorded video.
You
had to log in at a particular time.
Yeah.
But you couldn't stop at halfway through and take notes and then go back over
time. No.
So it came, it arrived, and then it went.
It went. But then you had to give it 2 hours. That was the thing, before, you know, you could watch the recording.
Yeah.
And then I realised... it showed then that there was money. It came up in one of the, all of a sudden I noticed this thing flashing, saying money was, or on the thing, money in gold writing, money taken out for toolkit.
Okay, what's the toolkit?
Seemingly that's materials or something. And I sense a message saying, hang on, I said, are you sure you don't have my address or anything like that? I got no reply or anything like that. I tried to ring the phone number of the person that rang me the night before. Of course, that was a dead line.
So the course, as far as you're concerned, you didn't continue it. You were disappointed. Well, describing it as a course now is a bit of an exaggeration.
Oh, totally. But
because you look up creative writing hints and tips, and it's a brilliant, brilliant thing to do. And I'll ask in a sec why you decided to do it. You'll find fantastic YouTube stuff. You'll find your local library. I know Cork Library. Are running creative now. I think they probably, you sign up, they could be in the middle of it, but they're running creative writing courses in crime or with different authors. Incredible response to it, and it's free, absolutely free. But anyway,
I will actually do that.
But why did you decide to do
it? I tell you,
take your time, are you okay? Is Yvonne gone? Okay, don't worry, Yvonne. I'll come back in 2 seconds after this break. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Well, that was Yvonne there. Yvonne has gone for the time being. But Yvonne wanted to point out that she actually had to cancel her credit card to stop these payments going to the Shaw Academy. And she was going to explain to me, and I won't do it because I want Yvonne to do it, because she was willing to explain why she wanted to do the creative writing course. And it was a reason that none of us would love visited on us to have to do it. But she wanted to do it because she's a get up and go owner. And that's one of the reasons we asked her when she rang us, who would she be with when she was talking to us. And she is with somebody. So that's why I got a little bit of a fright. She is with somebody in the environment she's in. But hopefully we'll get Yvonne back because she had to go and cancel her card. Paul Reardon, you're not out of pocket with the Shaw Academy, but you want to say how hard it was to unsubscribe. First of all, how did you come across them and what did you sign up for?
Like your previous callers there, Joe, I would have come across Shaw and probably ticked the box somewhere along the line, and I would receive emails from them. And again, like the other callers, I suppose I was to a certain extent a child of the lockdown.
Yeah, of course, generally
like to take photographs at music gigs and stuff like that. So yeah, I was at a bit of a loose end.
Right.
So I saw the site. I could see that as I worked my way through it, it was very professional, very well designed.
Yeah, I know.
And it really looked the business. And I registered. I was conscious of the 4 weeks. And I said to myself, well, I'll do the 4 weeks and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
And as part of the setup process, I needed to provide them my credit card details. And I did so by linking them to PayPal.
Okay.
And I recognized, well, of course, when the 4 weeks come up, but that means if I continue, I would expect them to let me know and money to start flowing from my account. What happened then next was unusual, and that was that I found that I was getting messages from PayPal alerting me to credits that were coming back from Shaw.
Okay.
And in fact, on the 24th of March, I received three credits, each of 50 cents each. For 50 cents, 350 cents that were taken out of my account through my credit card account well in advance of the 4 weeks being up. So that immediately put me on my guard, and I said to myself, do you know what, Paul? Let's call this off and make sure you cancel. Mm-hmm. So I did have a quick look to see how to cancel, but I knew I assumed I'd be good to go for at least another couple of weeks. So around the time coming up to the end of the 4 weeks, I went back in. So I went to the website. And what was unusual about the website was that it wasn't mm-hmm. giving me a simple, easy way to back out in the same way that it allowed me register. So I recognize the whole question about prospecting for customers and then engaging mm-hmm. customers. But if you look at the cycle, what's called the life cycle of a customer, you always need to be looking at the way to let the customer out of a process as well, particularly when you're trying to do digital business. So the link, the only thing I could find on the site was to call a number.
Yeah.
So fair enough, I called the number. And you go through the chatbot, and the nice lady with the nice accent told me to press button one, followed by press button three, by button four, you know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually I thought I was done. And next thing, she comes back to me, she in inverted commas, and she says, oh, we're very, very sorry to see you go. Do you know that if you could stay on, we will give you this, that, and the other?
Yeah.
And I go, no thanks. So eventually, after what felt like an age to me, I managed to cancel the course. Now, it was so peculiar, this telephone engagement, that I actually called my daughter, who was in the room beside me, to listen to it.
Okay.
And to be honest, the two of us were having a good old laugh at what was going on. On the back of that then, I checked and made sure that no more money was coming from my account. I did find, however, that like one of your other callers there, I was continuing to get emails asking me whether I wanted to buy a copy of my certificate or my parchment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I ignore those. But a number of months later, after I actually had heard you refer to Shaw Academy mm-hmm. back in December, I decided to call them again. And when I called them, I was alerted that they referred to me by name. So I just called from my mobile number.
Okay.
And next thing, they said, hello, Paul. Nice to have you back.
Great.
And
Great.
That struck me as a bit odd as well.
Yeah, very
so I then traced back my steps, and I made sure to go in to my emails and explicitly unsubscribe from their mailing list. And when I did that, I left at 24 hours and I came back the following day. And thankfully, if I was to ring them now, they, on the face of it, wouldn't recognise me.
And Paul, the course, you signed up for the photography course. Did you actually sit in on anything?
No, I didn't. I decided to just let that go.
And did you know that they, even though you're given, you know, they'll give you, and they send you an email an hour beforehand saying, remember, your course starts in 1 hour at... did you know that the pre-recorded lectures, so to speak, if they can be called lectures, I presume they are, pre-recorded lectures that you can't stop, pause or interact with?
I would be surprised at that, but I wouldn't necessarily be totally shocked, because for the type of money that they were charged the courses for, my expectation would have been that they would have been low grade. But in that regard, and if you look at their website and if you do a Google for them, you will find that they, certainly within Ireland, it comes up to say that they are headquartered in Fitzwilliam Square.
Yeah.
And also, they refer to all the graduates that they have.
That's
they have 1.5 million graduates.
Yeah, and there's testimonies left, right and centre from people given their first
name. The man says, paper doesn't refuse ink. And as you referred to there earlier regarding Trinity and all the controls that are there, you know, particularly within the Ireland, you know, unless it's a recognised university, unless the quality and qualifications are that the QQI... and audit the universities, unless they're at the table or their equivalent, and there can be various nuances around that, and unless you've got that type of independent validation, you need to recognise that, you know, beware and move on if you're looking for something serious.
Well, we're avalanche of calls now about the Shaw Academy, and they're all of the same template, and that is that they were tempted by, especially during the pandemic, do a free online course, 4 weeks, top notch, et cetera, in really interesting topics, including photography, social media, construction, creative writing, goes on and on and on. And people lock in, and then they find, one, that they're disappointed with the course, it's not what they thought it would be, and two, that they can't get out of it. By the way, just to paraphrase, this is the presse of the Shaw Academy 3-page statement with graphs that I've been given. They haven't denied everything. Rather, they've acknowledged that they have legacy issues which came about as a result of their, quote, hyper-growth. They're acutely aware that, quote, there is work to be done, and assure us that they have made dramatic improvements in the Shaw Academy to their refund and cancellation processes. Anne, there's Anna Davison. I want to go to Anne first. Anne, they sent you on the wrong course.
Yes, they sent me on the wrong course. Hello, Joe.
Well, they sent you to the wrong screen. You didn't go anywhere.
Well, I understood. I applied for a cryptocurrency course.
Okay.
And I showed an interest in the gold course.
Good stuff.
And that's what I got. But I had applied for the crypto. My story, I haven't heard all the other people talking. But my story is that I applied, I accepted it for 49, whatever euro it was, to have it completed in a month for free. I understood all that. But about a week later, a guy rang me, and a very fast-talking gentleman, and he said, you know, asked me how I was getting on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the conversation, I said to him, and by the way, I never actually got what I asked for in the course. And then he said to me, well, I'll sort that out. That's no problem. I'll send you all the files. So within a very short time later, I got a message. Now, I paid through PayPal.
Yeah.
PayPal sent me a notification to say it was €199 gone out of my account. Now, bearing in mind I'm a pensioner and I don't earn an awful lot of money, that's a lot of money to go out of my account altogether without my approval. And so I immediately contacted them. There was no answer from the phone number that I had, the call had come from. And then I wrote to them. And I wrote to, I contacted PayPal immediately because I'd paid through PayPal. And they ended up creating two cases for me, and nothing came out of either of them.
Okay. And what?
So I never got my money back, basically.
Well, not even in cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, right?
No.
And what was, tell us what attracted you to the cryptocurrency course?
Well, I kind of enjoy. Yeah. My background would be a bit of finance, so I wanted to get it. I showed an interest in it, and I thought I want to learn more about
did
it.
Did you learn anything?
No, because I was so, I won't use the word, annoyed, that I just said, you know what, I'm not going to converse with these people at all. I just want to get my money back. And I felt if I kept doing the course that I was engaging with them, I really was only interested in getting my money back.
And
because
have you,
I was short.
Have you any idea what the content of the cryptocurrency course was?
No, unfortunately, because I never got it.
Who the lecturers were, the pre-recorded videos?
They were all pre-recorded. So, and to be honest with you, I didn't follow the gold either. Okay. I was just so annoyed.
Follow the money. That was Watergate. Follow the money. Okay, that's what we're doing. Follow the money, trying to get the money. Paul, yes, Paul, briefly.
Yeah. You mentioned there the response from Shaw, mm-hmm. saying that they were taken by surprise with all their business and they have some legacy issues.
Yeah.
They're a new company, but they're not a brand new company.
That's true.
If the Wikipedia entry for them is correct, and I always treat these things with a degree of scepticism, they were founded in 2013 by James Egan and Adrian Murphy.
Yeah.
In 2016, they had 55, they were getting 55 new students every month. In January 2016, founder Adrian Murphy and the Minister for Jobs at the time, Richard Bruton, announced 40 new education positions in their Dublin office.
Okay.
In January 2017, they launched an educational platform called Phoenix. So there's a lot more here. I'll go back to my own experience. I recognize that how they have designed their process, and of course, once you design a digital system, which this is, a way of attracting people to your company, engaging with them, getting them to register, getting to take money off them. The way you design that is, broadly speaking, the same whether you have 1,000 customers or whether you have 1 million customers.
Yeah.
And in this particular case here, the design of their online systems is definitively done in such a way so as to be obstructive to someone like me who wanted to back away.
Okay.
So I don't fully understand how they can say that their current issues are legacy. If they're getting lots of telephone calls.
Well, do you want more, Paul? Do you want more evidence that I'm mortified to reveal to you? I signed up with the Shaw Academy in two.
You and me, Joe. You and me, Joe.
Me and you against the world. 2016, and I remember being impressed by their testimony. And I actually thought, for some reason, don't ask me why, I actually thought they were based in Clontarf in Dublin, where I live. I don't know whether that was the testimony of local politicians, but I actually thought they were Dublin-based and Irish. And I signed up for a social media marketing. I was interested in all that nonsense. Obviously, I've learned nothing, absolutely nothing. I didn't. I gave them money. But as far as I can find out, but I was looking at this last night and I need to check. I didn't pursue it because I never even, when I discovered it was YouTube and all that nonsense, I said. But they actually sent me, at one stage, Paul, they sent me a photograph of three lads. And they said, and it's all Hi Joe, as you know, or Hi Peter in your case. And they have the photograph of the three people that would be giving the lectures. Sean, David and some other chap. I don't know if they, I'm sure they're real people. I was looking again last night. I think when I didn't pursue it, I think I got 50 emails. And then, this is going back to 2016. And then I got email saying, this is Ken here, was the name. We've been trying to ring you. No, I don't answer numbers that I don't recognise. And so they've been around a long time. They've been around, it's now 2021 and they're around from at least 2016. But we have to check that out. Did they get some form of government endorsement the Shaw Academy? Because their names, again, as I say again, I was under the distinct impression. Okay, Paul, leave it at that.
Asked about an endorsement, Joe.
Yeah.
If their Wikipedia entry is correct, it says,
well, you can't,
the CEO of Irish government agency Enterprise Ireland,
okay,
Julie Cinnamon,
we'll ask,
described Shaw Academy, okay, at the time as an example of an innovative Irish company,
okay,
in the growing online learning market, who are also supporting other Irish SMEs to grow through their extensive suite of online courses.
Okay,
sounds like an endorsement to me.
Yeah. Okay. We'll find out. We'll try and find out. And you say you think, have you got the documents? Now, it's proof of nothing. But have you got a document where they said you were endorsed by a government minister? Because we can ask the government minister what, because they don't endorse stuff without the department officials going through it for them. Anyway, we're asking Shaw Academy to come on air. Obviously, they're obviously very good communicators. They sent me emails nonstop, and they were trying to ring me to talk to them. And I'm saying to them again, Ken, if you're listening, you can ring me now, and the number is 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And back to the story of Keith Lucky Flynn and Lindsay Clark and their escapades over the years, and the fact now that they're both of them are in prison for relatively short periods, 700 charges. And by the way, one of the grounds for mitigation, which of course the legal people are entitled to argue, one of the grounds for mitigation, why the sentences were of the realm that they're in, is that the defending legal team argued, as I say, legitimately, that there were 700 charges. But they've both pleaded guilty, so the state didn't have to go through all 700 charges to actually fight them. And that should be taken into account for mitigation. Like, does that mean if there was 900 charges, they'd be out walking in Fitzgerald Park this week because they pleaded guilty and they saved the state so much work? But anyway, they got 4 in 2 years, co-conspirators. He got 4, she got 2. She opened the first bogus bank accounts using PPS numbers taken or bought from people who are homeless on the streets of Dublin and Cork. Now, we've a statement from the Gardaí because of that earlier statement where one man, and you heard the statement, he is confused, but he's annoyed, I think, and a bit upset, to say the least, and embarrassed that he might have been privy to this. But we just want to reassure him, because we went on to the Gardaí in Anglesey Street in Cork, and they say, investigating Gardaí at Anglesey Street in Cork contacted Gardaí, who were seconded to the Office of Social Protection, who contacted the persons involved in these stolen PPS numbers. All victims of this case have been contacted and no victims are outstanding. That's great news. All names used in the fraud cases were fictitious, and a total of 9 PPS numbers, obviously genuine, were used in this fraud. Gardaí seconded to the Office of Social Protection, contacted these 9 persons. And then we asked them this, which is not fully answered, about the role of the Law Society in this, who are the disciplinary, not only are they the educators of solicitors and the validators, but they're also the disciplinary body for solicitors. Doesn't Gardaí Síochána, we asked, have a record or report about 2 struck off solicitors? They were struck off, they were suspended in 2016. And we say, did they have a record of them being struck off even in 2018? So then Gardaí does not comment on correspondence received from any third party. And Gardaí Síochána, attached to the Bridewell in Dublin, that's beside the Law Society, carried out an assessment of certain matters coming to their attention in 2018. This is 2 years after they were suspended. As a result of that assessment, no action was taken at that time. But anyway, that's where we now stand. So our man who thinks, from the photograph of Lindsay Clark with Enda Kenny in 2014, that's been in the Examiner, our man thought that he recognised Lindsay Clark as a woman who came up to him saying she was a worker. Then, as you hear Cork County Council say, we don't do that, and they don't look for PPS numbers, and he gave this woman a PPS number. She gave him a phone call for help if you ever needed the phone disconnected. It looks like that was, as far as we can see, the Gardaí are saying they've contacted everybody that these two defrauded, so to speak, of their PPS cards, and then went on to defraud 400,000 at least from the banks, of which 100,000 was recovered, where the other 300, maybe they used it to fund the trips to climb Mount Toopcal and try and get into the Guinness Book of Records in 2018, or to fund businesses they opened and became a member of the Kerry Business Network. This is all subsequent to Lindsay Clark opening the first bogus. She opened the first bogus accounts. Okay, let me see. Shane Mackey. Shane, good afternoon. I've seen these ads, billboards. Tell us about them.
Joe, how are you doing?
Good. Veganism. Are they promoting veganism or attacking people for being meat eaters?
I'm really not sure, to be honest. I can't work out what it is or actually what the point of the thing is.
But they are billboards.
They're billboards in a public space where children are going to see it.
Okay.
And I went on a walk yesterday along my 5-year-old's school route.
Okay.
And there's two of these images, one of a malformed chicken right outside a nursery and a school, and then, which I'd seen that image before, and it's, that one's kind of, that one's fairly shocking, but this latest one that I've seen now, it's a picture of a sheep being stabbed in the neck, and with blood coming out of it.
With a knife, with a serious knife. Yeah,
it's very violent.
Yeah.
It's very violent, and it's very disturbing. I was really, really upset now by it when I saw it. I can't believe that it's there. And it's on the school route. There's no way that that we can avoid it without really going out of our way. And, you know, Joe, like, I can do my best to protect my daughter, but there'll be other children who are likely going to see that on their way to school on Monday. And everybody's nervous as it is, you know, and especially the kids right now.
So tell us the slogan that's beside this sheep that's screaming, obviously, or squealing, being stabbed in the neck with the blood and the butcher's knife, and then there's a lamb chop or whatever in a package, as in a butcher's. The slogan beside it, have you got it there with you?
Yeah, if I have it here, yeah. So the large text reads, a terrified child dying for your dinner. And then the small text reads, slaughtered baby flesh. So it doesn't even make sense.
It's a billboard. It's a 48 sheet, as you say, which is the biggest billboard you can get, the long rectangular ones. A terrified child dying for your dinner.
That's exactly what it says, yeah. And then smaller text reads...
But it's not a child.
No, it's a sheep. That's not a lamb. That's a sheep. Yeah. So it doesn't even make sense. And I can tell you, Joe, my daughter is very sensitive to this kind of stuff, and we're against any kind of cruelty in this home.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and we've raised her that way, and the poor thing can't even... She came home scared to bits because another child stepped on a worm. If she sees this thing, she I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest. We're going to have to go really out of our way to make sure that she doesn't see it. But I can't stop other kids from not seeing it and talking about it in school. And what happens then if a child decides to act on that? It's absolutely reckless.
And they're around. Well, I presume they're around the country. I've seen them a lot around Dublin. Don't buy milk. Why love one? That's a puppy. And eat the other. That's a pig. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen them. But it seems like they're incrementally getting more and more extreme. And this one just goes way, way, way too far.
This is dairy. This is their first and last day together. Baby calves, is a photograph of a cow and a calf. Baby calves are stolen from their mothers on day one, so you can drink her milk.
Now, what's a child supposed to make of that?
And then you say the one on the school route is the one of the sheep being stabbed, and they use the word a child being killed, a terrified child dying.
Yeah.
And the dying is in blood red, dying for your dinner.
That's exactly what it says.
Yeah, do you know who they are? Who are they? Veganism is very, very popular at the minute. It's got a lot of strength to it, hasn't it? And there's arguments for and against, but there is a genuine vegan community out there.
Absolutely, Joe. And I have a lot of respect for vegans, actually. I'm actually starting to cut meat out of my diet gradually, and I have a lot of respect for people who can do that. But this is not about veganism. This is about what we accept in a public space where our children are going to be victimised by an abusive image.
Okay.
It's outrageous.
And the photograph of the deformed, very deformed hen, I presume, eating free-range chickens, ? This is what you pay for.
Yeah. it's like that one. I can't. That one again. You know, I'm not like. I'd love to hear a farmer's view on like. Is that how they slaughter animals, or is that what a free range chicken looks like?
We asked vegan Go Vegan to come on the program, and they said we didn't give them enough notice. So we'll hold on for them. We're on
every
day.
Well, you know what, Joe? The whole country wasn't giving
enough
notice.
This year, next year, we'll be on every day. I'm not going anywhere.
Great.
If Go Vegan want to come on, they're more than welcome. It could be Monday or Tuesday. They said we didn't give them enough notice this morning, which is fair enough, totally legitimate. Okay, Shane, back to school on Monday. What do you think? Are you okay about that?
Oh yeah, the school has been brilliant. I have to say, feel very safe. Yeah.
So what class are we going back to? Fourth or second? Is it?
Junior infants.
Oh, junior infants.
Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is he looking forward, or she looking forward to going to school?
Yeah, there's mixed emotions, but overall she's very excited to go back. She's
That's
really
great.
Looking forward to it, you know.
And did you have to do much homeschooling yourself?
We had to do a bit, but we were fairly gentle with it, you know, because it is our first year, so
we still
sent out lessons and stuff like that, you know, but keep her occupied.
Well, best of luck. I know there's only a relatively small proportion of school children going back on Monday, and the teachers have been there all along anyway.
Well,
so best of luck
to thanks to the teachers, because they've been absolutely fabulous.
Here. I have to say that because I've one of them at home, and my life wouldn't be worth living if I didn't say it every day on the hour. But well done, Shane. Safe travelling on Monday, and that's a fair point you've made. And as I say, we've put it to Go Vegan, and they say they didn't give us enough notice, but I presume that means they will come on when they get a spokesperson.
I'd love to hear what they have to say.
Okay. Kind regards, Shane Mackey, 51551 My Chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, if you happen, we're a little bit behind here in terms of having copies of stuff in terms of a library. If you have the most recent copy of the Guinness Book of Records, would you do us a favour? Take it down off the shelf. It's a great book. Would you look up Mount Toubkal, Toubkal? It'll be under mountaineering achievements. It's in Morocco. It's part of the Atlas mountain range. It's 4,167 metres high, and that's four times higher than Carantuahl, our highest mount. That's how impressive it is. But while all these court cases and false accounts were being used by Keith Lucky Flynn and Lindsay Clark, Lindsay Clark posted, and not just posted photographs, she was in the Moroccan newspapers, believe it or not, and the Irish newspapers, saying that she had climbed Mount Toubkal, which is an incredible achievement in itself. Well done, Lindsay, well done. And but she said she'd climbed it with a relative, and that's why she would be in the Guinness Book of Records. So if you can find any reference to Mount Toubkal, Toubkal, in the Guinness Book of Records, and an Irish person, I won't name the person, that person nothing to do with this story, but just that she was doing this while all the money was being stolen from the bank. So put one and one together there and see what you get. Elizabeth Connolly, Joe at RT.ie. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you say your mind is a 50. You sound like 50, but your age is slightly different and it's become a problem. Why?
Absolutely. I have a thing about ages. I think when you turn 65, you're treated differently. You have to leave your job. That's what happened to me. I worked here in the hospital in Goa in the Bon Secours. And once you became 65, you're out the door, whether you liked it or not. And recently I decided I'd love to be involved in the vaccinators for giving the patients the vaccine and helping out. First of all, I contacted my GP and never heard back from her, so I don't know. I was going to volunteer. I was just said that if they needed me, I was available. So then I sent my CV, actually my daughter sent it in for me, my CV into the HSE. Now, as you know, I haven't been retired for that long. I don't know when I had sent my CV off before. So I got sent it actually last Sunday. Monday morning, I got an email to say that I had a Zoom call with them on Wednesday at 4:20. So again, I'm not having a Zoom call ever before. I'm helping my grandson with his homeschooling here. So I've been doing Zoom calling with him, or he's been doing the Zoom callings, but I've been with them. So Wednesday came, and my appointment was at 4:20. Half past four, they came on and said, sorry, the Nesbitt can't employ you because of your age. Now, I was 70 last year, very capable, have worked all my life with patients, given IV, given intramuscular injections, so I'm quite capable, quite well able to deal with patients. And, you know, it just, it annoys me. I'm here, I'm free, I'm available to do work, and they're just not interested because of my age.
Okay. And was it stipulated on the application that...
No, nothing at all. Just I sent in my CV. What is annoying me is that rather than sending me an email on Monday, they should have then said to me, sorry, because of your age, we can't employ you. But my Zoom call was arranged 20 past four on Wednesday, and sorry, can't do anything with you. Nesbitt doesn't want you on board at this age, because of your age. Now, I understand I'm 70 years of age. Mm-hmm. I understand anybody who's going to be involved in the vaccinating program will already have to have their vaccine. But why discriminate you because of your age and you're quite capable of doing and everything, you know, that's involved?
Well, your age also means you've incredible experience.
Well, I've been years at it and doing different types of nursing, you know, so between midwifery and general and orthopaedics. Okay. So, you know, we're not stupid. It's because you turn a certain age. You know, you're quite, I mean, you have enough of reality going on in your life and you've gone through enough to know
and
exactly where you are.
Did they say we're overwhelmed by applications?
No. No.
Did they say if we're going through, doing it, the argument is we're doing it from, we're starting at the other age end, and if we need you, we'll come back to you.
Well, in all fairness, the girl did say she would put my name on file. But what I'm gathering at the moment, like physiotherapists have been invited in, second year student nurses have been invited in. But why not retired people who are quite capable with years of experience, why we couldn't be put on board and said we're willing to help out. We're here.
Okay.
And this vaccine needs to be moved on quick.
Once we get the supplies,
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, why not? We're here. Yeah. We're available. Sorry now for it. I'm just so cross and so annoyed that, you know, because of our age that we're discriminated in fact, you know?
And I'm not being mischievous here, Elizabeth, but I suspect you've given so many injections in your career that you could do a blindfolded.
Absolutely. And I won't name any person, but if I mentioned it, you'd know who I was talking to. We actually, one of the house medical officers that you'd know well, we actually showed him how to give IV antibiotics in the hospital. So, you know, we've been through it all. You know, you get these young doctors that come in January and come in again in July when the turnover of doctors, and they're straight out of college. They haven't a clue how to give anything.
I know, that's why they rely on experienced people like yourself. Are you saying you taught to Tarnisha how to be a great doctor?
Oh, no, we won't go, no.
Okay, but you were good at your job, and the other thing as well is, it's also about the manner, and some people do get very worried about a needle, and you're able to reassure people.
We're used to dealing with patients.
Yeah.
Their anxieties, their worries.
And Elizabeth, how have you managed during the pandemic?
I've been very busy, and I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it. I've been homeschooling my 7-year-old grandson.
Okay.
And I actually don't like him going back to school. I'd hate him to hear me saying that now. I'm thrilled for him, but I'm going to miss him.
Okay.
We had a program going here, the two of us, and it was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So he's going back on Monday, is he?
He's heading back on Monday. He's in first year.
If his granny doesn't hold him in the box room, insistent.
Going back.
Okay, what made you do it, Elizabeth? Did you do it certain times every day?
No, I'll tell you what we're doing. We have breakfast together here every morning at about 9.
Okay.
And then we tidy off and then we start at 10 o'clock and we start doing our whatever cursive writing and we do our spellings and then we take a break. We go until school time is over, which is 20 past 2.
Wow.
And we have our breaks and we have our little run outside and we have... chatting and I am privileged to have done it with them.
Elizabeth, are you working off a program?
No, the school have been brilliant in all fairness.
Yeah, great.
St. John the Apostle School here. They give a program every Friday evening and they give Monday, Tuesday, what they expect. And plus they have the seesaw program going as well.
And you stuck to that?
Oh, we did, rigidly.
And what's, it's a great age. What do you, in terms of the changes educationally in Ian, what are you most proud of in, over the last few months in terms of teaching?
If you saw his cursive writing and his spelling, and I have him doing subtractions, and I don't know their terminology of the school program.
Of course,
I've
read.
So we have subtractions and fractions, and it's been brilliant, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
So
you taught
him how to do the joined up writing?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well done.
He had started that in school, in all fairness, but we've perfected it, and he has been brilliant, and he's been so good with me, you know. And it's funny, his mom.
And you never had a little tantrum. I'm talking about you.
Now.
I'm talking about you, not the 7-year old.
He popped up every so often.
Did you? Yeah.
The funny part was he'd come and he'd say to his mother in the evening with the side of his mouth, "She killed me. She nearly killed me today." But we have good fun.
Well done. And did you learn a lot from that?
Oh, I did. Just to see how things have changed as well, you know, and it's been an eye opener, really, and I must admit, I thoroughly
enjoyed
it. And
how many grandchildren do you have?
I have 4 living in Australia in Perth.
Oh, do you?
I have a son and daughter living there, and I have a daughter who just after moving from Bahrain to Shanghai. And there's 2 living there. They've got a job in Harrow School in Shanghai.
Okay, and when do you see them, Elizabeth?
Well, you see, what's been happening to me since before I retired 5 years ago, I was going out every year for 3 weeks.
Brilliant.
Now
I go
out every 6 months and I spend 3 months out there.
Brilliant. But, but you haven't in the lockdown.
Unfortunately, I was due to come back home last April, but I actually came home. I was out for Christmas last year, or 12 months ago now. I came back Paddy's Day last year. We were due out again for Christmas this year. So I don't really know when I get back out. It's killing me because my granddaughter Hannah is actually making her communion in June out there. So unfortunately, I won't get out.
Well, at least you can talk to Peter, your son, on the other line. He's on from Australia at the moment. Peter, say hello. It was Peter who contacted us. Peter, say hello to your mammy, the teacher.
Hi, Mum. How's it going? I'm lucky. I'm looking around the
night growing
up.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. I'm down to talk to you later on. You're getting me into this problem, having a chat with Joe Duffy.
No, it's not a problem at all. I think it's a good thing that it's been noticed that everyone can actually find out what's actually happened.
Okay, Peter, we'll try and get a better line during this ad break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, we are talking to Elizabeth Connolly. Liz, as she says, she's 70. She's in Galway, wants to be a vaccinator. She's decades of experience as a qualified nurse and medic, and she was turned down on the basis of her age. By the way, the HSE have said, as per government guidance, very high risk or vulnerable healthcare workers should not be at work. This means that at present we cannot appoint over 70s into the role. But you have been vaccinated. Have you been vaccinated?
No, not
okay,
yet.
But you would be. Okay, Peter is the reason. Peter's your son in Australia with some of your beloved grandchildren, one of whom is in a hedge school in Galway, and he's dying to get back to school on Monday. He's not. He loves his granny. She's been a brilliant teacher. Peter, how are you managing out there in Perth, Australia?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. We're pretty sheltered from a very long, to be honest. We were locked down for 5 days recently, I think, and I think they all thought that the world was going to end here pretty much. But, obviously, we're not going through exactly what you're going through at all, so we don't really know what's happening, to be honest.
Okay, and your mother has lived up to how you described her. My mother is a very social, outgoing, independent, amazing woman. Did you know she was a brilliant teacher as well?
No, I didn't know that. I was kind of saying, far out. I was lucky that there was no COVID when I was growing up.
But Peter, how's your joined up writing? I hope it's...
I'm still trying to do it.
Okay, well then there's your mother, you should have thought. Julie Bourke, Julie, where are you?
Hello, Joe. I'm in County Sligo.
Okay, and you're a retired nurse?
Yes.
But you were contacted?
Yes.
And what were you asked?
By the HSE.
Yeah.
If I would volunteer, they were contacting all the retired staff.
Mm-hmm.
And... age limit 70, but may older maybe
okay.
Accept it.
My God!
And if I wished, just call this person on this phone number. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't interested, so I didn't call. But I feel very sorry for the lady I heard first.
Elizabeth,
Yeah, that she was wanted, really. And so I wonder, do they just say, no, what one wanted to do? It's a bit crazy, I think. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think especially when people are willing to do it and want to do it, I can't see why we can't do it. We didn't lose our brains or, you know, just because we're retired.
Not at all.
You know, and we're quite capable. I mean, we're capable of doing our work. You know, I wouldn't have retired at 65 if I could stay on for another 2 or 3 years. Yeah. But because I was 65, I had to retire. You know, I think it just makes me so cross.
Okay, Peter. You know, Peter, briefly in Perth, Australia, are you out of lockdown, Peter?
Yeah, we came out of lockdown about a week ago now, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. Stay.
We're certainly not under the same restraints that you are over there. We didn't have a clue what's happening, to be honest.
Okay. Peter, stay safe. Kind regards to you and your mother, Elizabeth Connolly. We're back on Monday, and as I say, anyone who wants to come on the programme, Go Vegan or Shaw Academy or anyone who were involved with Keith Lucky Flynn or Lindsay Clark can talk to us at that time. Today, Gar Duffy was in sound, Maeve Mooney's the BCO, Niamh Dunn was the researcher, and today's producer is the series producer, Rebecca Meehan, and Ray Darcy's next.